So we continue our study of the Proverbs. Now we're at chapter 15. We're reading verse 1 and 2, mostly just looking at verse 2 and the beginning part of that. So Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2. This is God's wisdom for His people. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Will you join with me as we pray that we will take full advantage of this opportunity to look at God's Word and His words of wisdom? Let's pray together. Father, you are wisdom, consummate wisdom. And we look to you, Lord God, for wisdom for our lives. We have embarked on this study of the book of Proverbs, Lord, and we see it fleeting away. Just two more opportunities for us to dig deeply into this book. And as we look today, Father, at your wisdom to us for our words, for our speech, Father, we're asking, we're pleading with you that you will teach us, that you will show us how to speak wisely. We ask this that you might be glorified by the words of our lips from this day forward, through Jesus Christ. Amen. While we are all here within relationships, there are relationships between husband and wife, relationships between parents and children, relationships between peers. There are relationships that you have that are beyond this place. And there are relationships that are very, very tightly bound together. But I'm sure you realize that those relationships that you have that are tightly bound together can also so easily be broken. What is it that both ties relationships together and also tears them apart? What is it that both ties relationships together? It's kind of a riddle. And also can tear relationships apart. What's that?
The tongue.
The tongue. Good. That's great, Brendan. It's the tongue. The word God talks about in very general terms, communication. And we're going to look at exactly how Brendan gave the answer. We're going to look more specifically at the tongue. Last week, we looked at the heart. Remember that? We looked at the heart, that everything in our lives flows out of our hearts. The will, our thoughts, our emotions, but also what comes out of this part. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you see the connection between the heart and the mouth. The mouth is so important. We're going to look at the mouth. Now, the Proverbs talks about the mouth, the tongue, as Brandon said, the lips, our words, our speech. It's all in the same category. And we want to look at how we can bring out of this part of our body, this organ, wisdom. Because there is a way, a communication that is in a category of foolishness, of speech, foolish speech, and is also a category of wisdom, of wise speech. We want to, and I hope so. That's why we're here, right? We want to speak wisely. We've embarked on a series of growing in wisdom. And in studying this, I hope this is, I have in looking at this, that this is probably the one thing that we stumble over, over and over, that we need to hear a word from God tonight about how we can be wise speakers, speaking wisely. Because you know and I know that so often we speak words that are completely inappropriate. And it's not necessarily the words that we speak, but it's also when we speak it. The timing can be inappropriate, right? And it's also the way in which we speak it and how we speak. Speech involves all those things, what we speak, when we speak, and how we speak. This is communication. And I'm telling you that our relationships that I just enumerated here, not just here, but your relationships with your colleagues, with your peers, with strangers on the street, everything almost depends upon words, how you speak, what you say or what you don't say. So if you're with me and wanting to grow in wisdom, here's your opportunity to hear the Word of God, to see how words are so important. Because words can both heal, and same words can also hurt. Words can build up, but words can break down. The importance of words. So if we want to be wise in our speech, if we want to speak wisely, we must go directly to the source of wisdom. And that's why as I prayed, we went straight to God. We said, Father, you are the consummate of wisdom. You are the consummation of wisdom. We go straight to you. And that's where we're going to find wisdom. Listen to this Proverb 2:6. It says, the Lord gives wisdom. This is where you're going to find it. The Lord gives wisdom from His mouth. We're going to go straight to the mouth of God to find wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And we know that in chapter 8, wisdom is personified as though the Lord speaks through wisdom. And this is what wisdom says. From the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. We're going to go straight to the source to find wisdom. Once we find wisdom, then we need to study it. We need to meditate upon it. In Proverbs 15:28, it says, the heart of the righteous studies or meditates on how to answer. When we have found that wisdom, we need to study it and use it in speaking wisely. Then once we've studied wisdom, we need to use it. And this is where we are in Proverbs 15, verse 2. It says, the tongue of the wise uses this knowledge, this wisdom that we've acquired from God. It uses this knowledge and it uses it rightly. Rightly. We're going to learn how to use wisdom or knowledge rightly. That means we're going to make good use of it. We're going to delight or have great joy in learning how to take this wisdom from God and to use it when we speak. How are we going to use it? As we meditate upon it, this is what we're going to learn. Okay? You will speak wisely when you use knowledge rightly. You will speak wisely when you use knowledge or when you use wisdom rightly. And there are three ways that you can use wisdom rightly. Three ways. The first way is by considering what to say. We're going to consider first what to say. And rarely do we ever consider what we're going to say, what words we're going to use, do we, before we say it. Isn't that true? You sometimes find yourself just sitting there, okay, I want to be careful, I want to use these words before we open our mouths. Most often, we speak off the cuff. We speak without hesitation, from the top of our heads, and some personalities more than others, because as maybe some of you, that's the way you think. You just talk, and then you're thinking at the same time, or one step ahead of the other. But we most often don't stop to consider what to say. And sometimes we say things, we put our foot in our mouth, and we wish we never said that. And then we might say, I really didn't mean what I said. Well, we know we can't take that back, can we? Words are so important that we should consider what words we use. We need to consider this because if we want to be wise speakers, we need to use knowledge rightly, to use wisdom rightly, to consider what to say. I want to give you 4 points from the Proverbs on what to say. 4 words, kind of words to use. And actually the first one is kind words. Kind words. What to say? Use kind words. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. You know what a honeycomb is? Just follow the bee. Right? I think. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body or to the bones. See, kind words or pleasant words are like honey. Isn't honey, everyone loves honey. Everyone is attracted to honey, right? That's what kind words is like. When you use kind words, you are attracting people with your word. It's sweetness. And it's sweetness to the health of their body, every part of them. When you use kind words with people, it will bring them health. You see that? In the use of kind words. And you will touch the deepest part, not just their body, but their soul. In the use of kind words. That's the first point. The second is using encouraging words. Encouraging words. Listen to Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. How many people that you interact with day by day are depressed? I would imagine most people out there are experiencing some form that they would describe as depression, on and off. And that presses them down. It's a load. The worries in their lives are a load on their shoulders. It weighs them down. And what does a good word or encouraging word do to them? It says here, it makes the heart glad. It lifts them up. Talk about cheering someone up. Use encouraging words. Encouraging words. When you've got all these people around that are just weighed down with words, encouraging words, you lift them up. You cheer them up. You make them glad. These are the words that we can use wisely. The third category of words is discreet words. Words of discretion. Have you ever ruined a surprise party? I have. And I was notorious for not doing it again, but I remained notorious after that time because it wasn't a big disaster, but I let the secret leak. I was entrusted with something and I goofed up and I was known for that. But Have you ever done something like that where you were entrusted with the word to keep a secret, to keep something that's private, and that you just, with your words, you just let it, you let it leak out? There is wisdom in using discretion with your speech, with the word that you speak. Listen to this in Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer. You know what a talebearer is? A talebearer reveals secrets. But he who is of a faithful spirit, what do? Conceals a matter. A talebearer. A gossiper. Someone who has received something that was entrusted to them, a secret, but a gossiper, someone who goes around and just lets it loose, reveals all these secrets that was entrusted to them. But a faithful spirit, or a wise speaker, or someone who conceals, or someone who keeps that confidence that was entrusted to them. That's wisdom in what the words that you use. Listen to also another verse that deals with discretion of words, Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Does that happen to you? Where someone has come to you with a heavy heart and says, you know, I'm going to entrust something to you, but don't let that go out from this room. Or if you have seen a sin in someone's life, or maybe even you with your spouse, and it's not known to everybody, it's just known between the two of you, and with your words you might just bring that matter up again. You might go fishing and just maybe remind that person of that sin. But there's wisdom and discretion here. Listen, it's basically saying here, if you are looking at someone's life and knowing with all its failings and impurities, and you don't bring up those things before them. Discretion involves concealing that matter and being so often forgiving that you cover over those sins. It says here, covering over transgression. That is when you're seeking love in that person. Because the foolish one is the one who repeats the matter. And what it does is it separates, it makes a fracture between the relationship. It separates friends. When you are bringing up these matters again, when instead, love, wisdom, is to cover over that transgression. And I know in marriage especially, there's so many things you can just remind that person of. But wisdom and love covers it over and doesn't bring the matter to that person's attention again. That's discretion. Words of discretion. Now, fourth point is very simply, what to say? Few words. Listen to this, Proverbs 17:27. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Isn't that interesting? Try this sometime. You're talking to someone. Sit there, bite your tongue, and don't say a word. And just listen. And you'll be considered wise. If you're in a group and you don't say much, and people watch you and you're not saying anything, and they'll be, wow, that person is perceptive. This is what it says. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace, shuts his mouth, he's considered perceptive. Using few words, he spares his words, has a calm spirit. Wisdom involves using few words. Listen to this in Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. I remember John MacArthur, if you're familiar with John MacArthur, he writes a book, it seems, every month. He's a man of many words, in a sense. He's always writing, he's always speaking, but it's not as though, you know, he's sinning in doing that, but he's, every time he speaks, he said, I remember in an interview, he says, I'm incriminating myself because I actually have to defend what I actually said. I'm speaking too much. Because in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. So be careful with your words. Be few in your words. Maybe I'm speaking too much here. But be few in your words. Because the more you speak, it says, the more the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. There's wisdom in restraining your speech at times. Okay, few words. Kind words, encouraging words, discreet words, few words. Now let's move on to the second way in which we are going to consider how to use knowledge rightly, and that is to consider when to speak. When to speak. So sometimes it's not a consideration necessarily of what to say, but it's also when to say it. Do you often find yourself wondering, should I speak or should I hold my speech? You know, at the time, is it wise to speak now or just to be silent? Should I bite my tongue or should I just let it go? I love these verses in Proverbs, 16, 1 and 2. I don't know if you've ever scratched your head over these verses, but listen to this. Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Is that confusing to you? At once he says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So when you speak, well, there's a time to answer a fool, there's a time to speak, and there's also a time not to speak. So how do you know? Well, let's look at this example with a fool. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. If you find someone who is just spewing out folly, and you just think, you are thinking, if I were to speak at this time, I would join in this person's folly. I will be like him. There's a moment to stop and not to answer it. Okay, you see that? Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Don't enter into his folly. But there is a time to answer a fool according to his folly, or in other words, to answer a fool as his folly deserves. Lest he be wise in his own eyes, meaning that there is a time for you to speak to confront that person in his folly so that they won't be wise, so that they won't appear to be wise, but that they will be shown up for their foolishness in that moment. So there's a time to speak and there's a time not to speak. See that? Okay. Now we're going to see other verses in Proverbs how the use of the tongue, the in wisdom, using wisdom rightly, when to speak. And there are 2 points here. Firstly, after listening. You speak after listening. That's the when, after listening. Proverbs 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. He answers before hearing a matter. So often, people come to us with counsel, or people are talking to us. This is a real issue with me. I'm so hasty with my words. But it's you just want to jump in. You have a thought in your mind, and you just want to respond. But wisdom is sitting there and listening. He who answers before he before he hears it. Before you give your wisdom, sit there and listen. Get all the information that you can gather before you open your mouth. Otherwise, you might find yourself speaking folly, and it might be shame to you if you have not first listened, hearing out the matter before giving your answer. The second verse I want to give you is Proverbs 29, verse 20. This is a word that is very convicting, and I hope that you don't feel too discouraged with it, but it's in the Word of God, and it's a very strong word. Here it is. Do you see a man hasty in his words? You know how the rest goes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You find yourself hasty sometimes with your words, maybe with your children or with people. Hasty. It says there's more hope for a fool than for you in that moment. Hastiness. Speaking without actually thinking. Processing. There's a timing in which to speak after listening. That's the first point. Second and last point here on when to speak. After considering the actual specific timing. After considering your timing. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. How many people do you know that maybe your relationship with them, or there's a relationship out there where that relationship is on the rocks? Any, can you think of anybody that you know where there's a relationship on the rocks? There is an appropriate time, and it's almost as though that a person can come in to that relationship where it seems like everything is going to collapse, and there's going to, at that point, there's going to be no more hope for that relationship. But someone comes in at exactly the right time and brings a word. Brings a word, an appropriate word, a fitting word, an answer from the mouth, and everybody loves it. There is joy, there is cheer, and the relationship is restored because that word was spoken in due season. And I marvel at wisdom, especially some of the older men. They know about this timing. They step up at the exact right moment, and everybody is glad that everything's been restored and there's been reconciliation. And there is wisdom in considering your timing in which you will speak a fitting word in due season. Now we come to our last way in which we use knowledge rightly, and that is how. Considering how we are to speak. How do we say things? We all have things that people have said, words that have been said to us that have hurt us. And I can know in my life, and especially in my life, I've had a very, very stable upbringing. But there are still some words that have been spoken to me in my childhood and my upbringing. There's still some wounds there. There's still, even when I think about it, there's bitterness boiling up just by words. By the way in which someone said something to me. Do you have that in your life? Words can hurt. It can dig deeply into the soul. And I know that this is a rhyme that kids say, and they've been maybe taught how to say it. Sticks and stones will break. How does it go? Break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? No, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's not true. It's not true. Your bones will heal, but words take a long time to heal. See how powerful words can be? To hurt. You know, everyone who is bullied is bullied. Sorry, everyone who bullies is bullied. If you've been bullied before, think of that person that bullied you. If you were able to walk home with that person who bullied you and go home, you will find out that there is someone that is bullying that person. It's true. Every person who bullies is bullied. Did you know that? It's true. Because when you get hurt, you want to hurt someone else. Either you want to hurt that person or someone else, even worse. There's something inside of us that's really ugly. If someone speaks to us ugly, hurtful, wounding words, we want to hurt even worse. It's like you've been stabbed, and it hurts so much with words that you want to stab someone else with words. That's the way it goes. There is this cycle, and it just gets worse and worse and more ugly and more destructive. Now, what do we do to break that cycle? What do we do to stop this cycle of words attacking one another, hurting one another, destroying one another with words? How do we do it? Well, I want to give you a few helps here. Actually, it's just one. There's just one way. It makes it so simple. And I searched the Proverbs. There's just one thing that you can do and how you can speak. There's just one thing. One way in which you can speak that instead of bringing hurt, instead of stabbing people again after you've been stabbed, it's just one way. And that is using not just the words, but using a gentle way in which you speak. Speaking gently. Speaking gently. So don't even forget it. It's so simple. It's just one word. If you want to break this destructive cycle of hurting one another, you speak gently. Proverbs 15, verse 1. I read it. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I'm sure you don't actually have to go out and make an experiment of this, where you have to try this out. Using a soft word versus using a harsh word. I'm sure you've seen it happen. It's very simple. If someone says to you a harsh word, if you respond with a harsh word, that will only foment and stir up the harshness in that interchange of words. Is that true? But if you use a soft word. And I've been thinking about this and trying to help with Samuel. You know, even the way I say no gently, even the way that I speak to him or to my wife with gentle words. Just watch. Watch this week. The way you say, the words might be absolutely true, correct, in your discipline or the way in which you speak, but say it softly. Say it gently. And see how that, as it says here, it just turns away the anger. It dissipates the anger. But don't experiment with this, but if you're going to see that if you use a harsh word, if you use another angry word, the volume will just get higher and higher and higher. And houses out here right now, the people in the kitchens and all over the bedrooms are screaming at each other because they don't know this. It's so simple. Just quiet your spirit. Take a deep breath. Use gentle words, and you will calm. You will turn away that wrath. Look at another verse, just a few verses later, verse 4, chapter 15. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. We talked about the life that comes out of the heart. There is a different form of life here. There's a life of the abundance that God desires for us. And that's even in the use of our tongue. When we speak a wholesome or gentle, the word actually is gentle, a tender word. when we speak these words, then it produces a life, a tree of life in people's lives. But perverseness, it crushes, it breaks the spirit. Talk about when you come, if you go to your children or if you go to your peers and you use a word that is harsh, it crushes them. Their spirit might already be bruised. But with your words, you can just break them down even more and crush them even more. I'm hoping that these words are encouraging. I know that when we look at this issue of the tongue, it can be almost overwhelming because we know how pervasive this is. Even tonight, we might use words that might go against God's instruction to us in wisdom. But conviction can be good because it can bring us to the reality of the necessity of our relationships to be tied together by the use of our words. Using knowledge rightly. Using this wisdom that you've learned tonight wisely. If there is a relationship in your life that is fractured, that is broken, go to those people and with your words bring healing. Prepare yourself in prayer. Prepare yourself. Consider the words of the gospel. The gospel that is the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation. They are words that bring two people, maybe it's between you and someone else, or trying to be a peacemaker between two people. Words, your words, can bring them together if they are the words of God. There is a treasure inside your heart. And that treasure, don't hide it. Open it up, let it come out of your lips, your mouth, and let it pour forth the speech of peace and healing and life to those people that need it. And maybe you need to speak that to yourself, to your own heart, and be reconciled with God. If you have been speaking words before God that are maybe bound up in bitterness or harshness, or maybe out of just you're not coming with that quiet spirit of humility, you come to God and you be reconciled with Him. The same way it's the gospel uniting people together, the gospel uniting you and God together to the cross of Jesus Christ. These are words that are not separated from the cross. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ that brings healing. Those are the words that you have in your heart. Bring them to your lips and speak them. What to say, when to say it, how to say it. Consider your timing. Consider it. But speak it. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have put words into our ears and they have sunk deep into our hearts. And they are there for the keeping. And God, we want those words to come back to our lips, not to be the perverseness in our hearts where we know there's so much that entangles our words. But Lord, let it only be your words that come to our lips. Words of what we say, kind words, encouraging words, discreet words, the wisdom of few words. And when we say it, Lord, help us to listen. Help us to know, consider the timing in which we speak. And Father, help us to be gentle with our words that we might speak, Father, for the healing of relationships. Even, Father, when we come to you, that we would not speak in anger, but, Lord, that we would speak to you humbly. Because we know that you are attracted to humility. So, Father, we come humbly to you and we pray words that were spoken tonight to all of us by you will be written on our hearts, words of wisdom. Make us wise, Father. Help us to grow in wisdom by your grace through the cross.